Could you switch your mobile phones off, please? Some people were saying, Pastor Dave, why did you bring an axe to church today? And I said, it's a new form of church discipline. Amen. Actually, I'm going to use it in the message, so I'm not going to hit anybody. It's quite okay. Praise God. Let's put our hand upon our heart and let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We just pray, Lord, your breath upon this message today, Holy Spirit. And we just pray right now that this word will be life to us all. Just pray, Holy Spirit, that walls will come crashing down. Pray, Lord, for deliverance today, miracles today, and healing today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. Just want to read a scripture myself, and that scripture that Emily just read will dovetail with this message today. But this is an unusual passage, and I don't think I've ever preached from it before. And it says this, if we could have it up on the screens, here we go. Can you see that text, everybody? Is that okay? It says, one day, this is from the Old Testament, by the way, and it concerns a prophet called Elisha. How many people have heard of a prophet called Elisha? Who was his mentor? Elijah. And when I was younger, I used to get them both mixed up because their names sound the same. But this man is a prophet, a mighty man of God who lived about 1,000 years before Jesus came to Bethlehem. So one day, the guild of prophets came to Elisha and said, you could see that this place where we're living under your leadership is getting cramped. We have no elbow room. Give us permission to go down to the Jordan where each of us will get a log. We'll build a roomier place. Elisha said, go ahead. One of them said, please come along with us. He said, certainly. So he went with them. They came to the Jordan. And that's why I've got my axe. And they started chopping down trees. But as one of them was felling a tree, his axe head flew off and sank in the river. Oh no, master! The young man cried out. It was borrowed. Oh no, he cried out. It was borrowed. So as one of them was felling a tree, chopping down a tree, his axe head flew off and sank in the river. You know, it's really hard to cut down a tree with just an axe handle. Actually, when I was young, who remembers the water heaters where you used to have to put the wood in? My chore after school was to make sure there was always hot water for my dad when he came home from work, which meant I had to go and chop the wood, yeah. But I found out, I think we all understand, it's really hard to cut down a tree just with an axe handle. Because you actually, this is very sharp, this one, you need the sharp edge of the axe to cut through the tree so then you've got wood with which you can build. When you lose your edge, you can swing as hard as you want at that tree and as often as you want, but when you lose your edge, that axe handle will just bounce off the tree. It can't penetrate. It can't cut it. And this young man, he lost his axe head. He lost his edge while participating in something noble and godly, something that had been approved by Elisha. And really, this story that we've just read out, very unusual story, is a picture of the Christian life. God calls us to grow in Him. You know, it's not just about getting saved and baptized in water. Very, very important. But we're called to grow in Christ Jesus. But, you know, you need your edge to cut through. You need your edge to break through and build the kind of life that honors Jesus Christ. It's very hard to preach with an axe in your hand. In our story, the young man lost his edge. Have you ever lost your edge? Have you ever lost your edge of fruitfulness and satisfaction, life satisfaction? Have you ever lost your edge of joy and peace? Have you ever lost your edge of love for Jesus Christ? Did you know that your love for Jesus Christ can get cold if you're not careful? Sometimes we need to return to our first love. You need your edge to build and enjoy the life that God has planned for you. I'm now going to put the axe down. Amen. Nothing causes you to lose your edge more than discouragement. One of the most powerful strategies that Satan uses in his warfare against you, and some of you have been the targets of this year, his powerful strategy is discouragement. Amen, amen. Something a bit safer. There are many good people that I meet, many good people here in our church. There are many well-meaning, godly people just like you who are going through the motions of life, but they are doing so under a heavy blanket of discouragement. Bethwyn, would you like to be my prop person? This is not just when you thought it was safe to come to church today. Amen. Is that okay if I put it on your hair? I know you've combed your hair, but is that okay? That's okay. Oops, you can just... Notice it's a dark blanket too. That's the blanket the dogs have been lying on. So I just... sorry. No. It's not true. And we haven't washed it all year. Amen. But there's many good people, many godly people who, like I said, are going through the motions of life and they've got this invisible blanket upon them. And it's a heavy blanket. And it's a heavy blanket of discouragement. And maybe you've come into this place today and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You feel that weight upon yourself of discouragement. Each day these people, and Bethwyn is representing discouraged people, each day discouraged people, good people, really good people, they swing hard and they make the effort to be a blessing. They're doing everything that they can, you know. They make the effort to be a contributor. Not bad people, actually very good people. They want to be a blessing to others. They want to be a contributor. But emotionally, they're as flat as a tack. And their cutting edge to life, somewhere along the way, has just evaporated. And now, even though they're a Christian, they just don't feel happy anymore. In fact, for some people, because of chronic discouragement, they find it hard to even remember when it was the last time they felt happy. And often when you've got discouragement, you don't feel happy anymore, but sometimes you don't even feel sad anymore. Sometimes you just feel numb and you become cynical and you're easily agitated and you just want to quit and you're perplexed by why do I feel like this? Unchecked, rampant discouragement leads to emotional flatlining and the loss of our cutting edge. And a lot of Christians in Australia today are exactly in that place. And no one is immune from discouragement. I certainly aren't. You're not. Nobody's immune from discouragement because we live in a world that's filled with many, many disappointments. Here we are in the 11th month of 2019. I wonder how many disappointments you've already had this year. Probably lots. And often is disappointments that then give birth to discouragement and even despair. Now, that's not my grandson. I just want everybody to know. Now, do you want to go and sit down for a minute? Because I'm going to keep going. No, keep it on. Oh, is it too hot? Okay, go and sit down. Okay. Just, No. It's okay. It's okay. It is a hot day. But if you're a real committed pastor, you would have said, oh, I just. I'm just a little bit disappointed. Disappointments. Everybody receives them. And often, not necessarily always so, but disappointments can give birth to discouragement. And even worse, it can give way to despair. And to live in a state of constant despair is a bad place to be living in. A disappointment, as you all know, is an unfulfilled expectation of something you're hoping for. You hope for, you know. You hope this year would be a better year. You hoped to find a wife or a husband. You hope to get rid of your wife or husband. We hope our marriage will improve. We hope to get a job. We hope to have a baby. We hope our health will improve. We hope to make a friend. Hope to make a sale. Hope to cease an addiction. This year I'm going to get a breakthrough, and here we are and nothing's changed. We hope the kids will stop hanging out with the wrong crowd. We hope that people will like us. And we've got all sorts of hopes and expectations. We have big hopes and we've got lots of little hopes, haven't we? But when you endure repeated disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment and unfulfilled expectations, it hits you in your emotions. Is everybody listening to me? It hits you in your emotions, which then could potentially lead you to that dark place of discouragement and despair. And every one of us in this room, every single person in this auditorium today, we all face the Goliath of discouragement because we're all regularly bombarded with disappointments. The Bible even says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a Message Bible. It says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. Discouragement, despair is a test and a temptation. So if you're feeling down, if you're feeling blue, if you're feeling discouraged, you're not actually on your own. Doesn't mean you're odd. Others have to fight discouragement too. Perhaps the person sitting next to you right now is fighting some discouragement in their life. And even many of the heroes we admire in Scripture had to face the giants of discouragement. Moses certainly did. Job did. Nehemiah did. David did. Elijah did. And many others had to face the giant of discouragement. Discouragement is part of life in our fallen world. But when we get to heaven, there will be no more discouragement. Amen. But it is part of life today. But thank God, even though discouragement may come, we don't have to park our lives living under the blanket of discouragement. You know. Now this young fellow, chopping down this tree, lost the axe head in the swirling River Jordan. And you know, the river was the worst place to lose the axe head. This poor guy couldn't believe that the axe head actually landed in the water. I mean, seriously. Life. You have to ask, why didn't the axe head fall on the ground? Why didn't it fall away from the river? Why? Because life is full of such irritating, unexplainable, crazy disappointments. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know. So the iron axe head, it hit the water, and what happened to it? It sank immediately, boom, bang, gone, before he could even blink. And it was lost forever. The water was deep, muddy, moving quickly. And so There was no way he was going to get it back. Now he's trying to figure out now exactly where did it land. There's no way it could be retrieved. Who knows how many meters it went out. You know, it might have been behind him and he went, whoo, and you know, 10 meters that way. Who knows? Who knows? There's no way it could be retrieved. The sharp edge, his sharp edge was gone, never to return again. You know, I've learned from life that discouragement lies. That reminds me of a sermon. Discouragement lies to tell, and it tells you, discouragement always lies to you, and it tells you that you will never recover your edge again, and this is how it's going to be for you for the rest of your life. Discouragement lies and says you will never have the joy of the Lord again. Well, that's just rubbish. Discouragement lies and tells you that God has forgotten you. No, he hasn't. Discouragement lies and says that you will never be happy and fruitful and satisfied again. Well, that's simply not true. But that's what discouragement says. It whispers in your ear that all of that part of your life, that blessed part of your life, is lost to you forever. Joy and life satisfaction cannot possibly be retrieved for you. That's what discouragement says. Discouragement is always cynical and always doom and gloom. That's why it's so destructive, and that's why you don't want to stay discouraged. Get out of it in the name of Jesus. Nonetheless, in view of all of that, our young man could have reacted to his loss of his the loss of his edge by deciding he wouldn't tell anybody and he would just simply look busy. Swinging the axe handle out of the tree and hope that no one noticed that he had lost his axe head. Tough tree. In a way, that's what we all do. Many of us are busy doing life, ridiculously busy, running hither, running thither. And we're hoping that no one notices that actually we're busy, but we've lost our edge. And actually, we're so very, very discouraged. Just got to move on. Don't have time to talk. Got to move on to the next thing. Carrying the blanket of discouragement. However, our young fellow is a pretty good guy, really. He faced the fact that his axe was borrowed. And let's remember that all the blessings of the Lord come from the Lord. The blessings we have in our life come from the Lord. Amen. His axe head, the axe was borrowed. So he then had to be honest about the situation. He really couldn't hide the fact that he no longer had this axe head on the end of the axe handle. After all, everyone would notice and see that he actually wasn't bringing any trees to the project because he couldn't cut them down. So he went, found Elisha, and told him about the situation. Then in anguish, he blurted out, "It was borrowed." This young fellow was honest about the mess that he was in. And the first key to throwing off the heavy blanket of discouragement is to call it out for what it is in your life today. Admit it. Admit that you're wrestling with discouragement and be honest with God and be honest with yourself about the way that you feel. And the way you feel is, it matters. The way you feel is a big deal to God. And God is waiting for you to be honest about the way you feel. That's what the psalmist was doing in his prayer that Emily prayed. The psalmist said things like, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Now I'm deeply discouraged." The psalmist was admitting he was battling those emotions of discouragement, and he was being honest with himself and obviously being honest with God because it was a prayer that he was praying. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope this helps you, by the way. It's going to get better in a few minutes. Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, God's wired you up with emotions. Emotions aren't bad things. Emotions, to be emotional, is part of your humanity. It's part of your God-likeness. Your emotions should be celebrated. But because of the fall, our emotions are flawed and they're fickle. And we're easily rattled by disappointment. But nonetheless, God still cares about how you feel. Absolutely. It matters to him. I'm just thinking right now, I'm talking about the lady, the widow of Nain, and her son died, and he was in the coffin. These men were carrying him, and Jesus saw what was happening. He was walking along the road, and the first thing that he said to this lady, he was touched by his emotions. He says, "Please don't cry." God cares about the way you feel. He sees it when you cry. And he's concerned about emotional pain, just as he is about physical pain. Amen. So he got Elisha, and Elisha responded to our young man standing there with his axe handle in his hand, and this is what the Bible says. The holy man said to the young man, "Where did it sink? Where did it sink?" And the man showed him the general place, I think around about here. And then Elisha cut off a branch and tossed it at the spot. And then, amazingly, the axe head floated up. "Grab it," Elisha said. And the man reached out and he took it. Wow. Can we all say wow together? Wow. Say it backwards. Wow. Amen. What a miracle. It's a remarkable miracle because axe heads do not normally float. But this iron axe head floated up and the young man miraculously got his edge back. The point is, God still restores his people back to wholeness even today. You can get your edge back today. You can finish 2019 strong in Jesus' name. You might even find yourself laughing a little bit more this week after today. Amen. How interesting that Elisha cut a branch and threw it at the area where the axe head hit the water. Why did Elisha do that? Why didn't he just wave his hand and go? Or why didn't he just say, "Axe head, float"? You know, he's a prophet. Why did he do that? Why did he throw in a branch? Elisha threw the branch into the river because the branch represented the cross of Jesus Christ. This is a prophetic miracle. The Old Testament is full of prophetic miracles. This is a prophetic miracle that was another pointer to the coming Messiah who would later die on the cross, die on a tree as a savior and deliverer of the world. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, Jesus Christ is called the righteous branch. And the point of this miracle is that the solution to every affliction, the solution to every giant that you face, to every trial, to every test and temptation that we faced, is always found in what Jesus Christ achieved on the cross. Your victory. I think there's a few people here today who could do with a bit of victory. Come on. Me too. Your victory over discouragement and despair is always grounded in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not positive thinking you need. It's not a pat on the back that you need. It's all in the cross of Jesus Christ. So the first key to throwing off the heavy blanket of discouragement is to call it out for what it is. But the second key to throwing off the heavy blanket of discouragement is to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. And the journey to the cross started in, for Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and being in anguish. That's a very powerful word. In the original Greek, very powerful word. Being in anguish. Being in despair, being discouraged, being in anguish, Jesus prayed more earnestly and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Before the whips, before the crown of thorns, before the nails, Jesus suffered deeply within his soul to the extent that he sweat drops of blood. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus began to carry the weight of our pain, including discouragement, despair, and depression, and broken emotions. The Bible says this in Isaiah 53, "Surely Jesus has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Therefore, part of our salvation is to have healing and strength splash upon your emotions. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Through the cross, Jesus Christ has provided you with the right to victory over discouragement and despair. Amen. Indeed, the final words of Jesus upon the cross was, "It is finished." Therefore, the power, listen very carefully, therefore let the power of discouragement is finished. The power of anxiety is finished. The power of despair is finished. I'm speaking prophetically over you by faith today in Jesus' name. The power of depression is finished. The power of broken emotions is finished. Psalm 23, verse 1 to 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." What does it say next? "He restoreth my soul." That word soul is talking about your emotions. He restoreth my emotions. And today, God still restores people's emotions. So finally, nearly finished, the axe head floated to the top of the water. Amazing. And Elijah said to the young man, "Grab it." And the young man reached out and he took it. "Young man, come and grab the axe head." And he did. And he got his edge back. This statement is actually, of Elisha's, is actually one of the many profound statements in the Bible. This is a very profound statement. And that, the reason for that is it because it reflects how God always, always, always works with us. You see, the power of God raised the axe head to the top of the water. The axe head sat there floating on top of the water, but the young man still had to reach out and grab it and put it back on the axe handle. It's always the way God works. This is the third key to defeating discouragement. This is how God expects you to receive the victory into your life over all of the work of the enemy. The Bible says this about God: "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies." Amen. There is a feast of victory over all the work of the enemy, including discouragement and despair. But you've got to come and get it. You have to grab it by faith. You have to take what Jesus has won for you. It's there on the table. Remember when you were a child and mum prepared the meal, then she'd say, "Come and get it. I'm not going to put it in your mouth. Come and get it. I prepared it. Where are you? Wash your hands. Come and get it." Okay, it was only in my home. Do you want to get your edge back today? Then grab it back in Jesus' name. It's floating there for you to take. Do you want to have a good week? Then grab it in Jesus' name. Do you want to be walking in encouragement and joy? Then come and grab it in Jesus' name. Let's just be a little bit more practical, and then I'm going to finish off. How do you come to God? What do you mean grab the victory? What do you mean? What I mean is this. Make the decision to lift up the name of Jesus. Just no matter how you feel, I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. And this is where praise comes in. You then praise him by faith for his goodness. You praise him for the victory. You praise him for the freedom he has given to you. Praise him for God for what he has done is the way you put your hand out for the blessing of God. So that means we need to praise the Lord a real lot.
Amen.
not just in church on Sundays. Amen. That's how you take ownership. That's how you always grab the victory. You raise a hallelujah. Amen. So we defeat discouragement by calling out, being honest with ourselves and with God. Secondly, by coming to the cross and remind ourselves of what God has done and won. And thirdly, by grabbing it. Grab your edge in Jesus' name. Can I go for 2 minutes longer? Just 2 minutes, and then we're done. Then we're gonna make room for the Holy Spirit to move here today. Amen. Come on. Come on. In conclusion, what can you do about the disappointments of life? You know, because they're going to come. This week, you're going to have some disappointments. So will I. That's the nature of life. But what can you do to stop them causing discouragement? What can you do to stop a disappointment, you know, bringing despair in your life? What can you do? Well, the psalmist, as Emily read earlier, said this: "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will put my hope in God." I'll say it again. I'm reading the scripture on the screen. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my... Can we read that together? I will put my hope in... I will put my hope in God. I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Life is always best when it's filtered through your hope in God. Our hope in God takes a sting out of the disappointments of life, which are many. So before you sink into an emotional low because you've received some unkind news, remind yourself, get hope in God. Remind yourself, God is still on the throne. Yes. Remind yourself that God causes everything, including disappointments, to work together for the good of those who love God. Remember that God has promised you that He will never leave you or forsake you, even when you have many disappointments. Remember that God is working in your life even when you can't see it. Remember that God will bring you through every trial and every disappointment. Cast off the blanket today of disappointment. Look at life through the filter of hope. And you'll live with the edge. The edge. Oh, I've run out of words. Amen. That was the last page. Got nothing else to say. But the Holy Spirit's got something to say right now. So what I'd like us to do is this, you know, everybody gets discouraged, but sometimes you get chronic discouragement. Who knows what I'm talking about, chronic discouragement? And I was just wondering if there's anybody here today saying, could you pray for me? I got a bit of chronic discouragement going, man, I just need prayer. Would you pray for me? Just give me a wave. That's you just, oh, quite a lot of people. Would you like, just come to the front. Just come. This is a holy place right now. This is a safe place. Holy Spirit, we just pray right now. Holy Spirit, we just need you. We thank you for the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for the power of the person of the Holy Spirit today.